spends a little time on some of the myths that float around in our society that he thinks we as a culture can do better with the science dispelling. The first is the flying solo myth or lie. He's using the word myth to be a little bit more, engaging. When I saw the word myth, I would want to repurpose it as lies, as what Sarah did earlier in the show. These are great lies. So he calls them myths. That marriage is a ball and chain of little benefit to the average guy. And so at best, it's unimportant. It's at worst an obstacle to a woman's progress. And this flying solo lie crosses gender and politics. Both liberals and conservatives types can have this. Men and women can have it. You're better off not being shackled. Father's rights group. So he says, well, how does that cross political? The father's rights is considered to be a conservative issue. And a lot of men over there say, why get married? Because she's going to take the kids, take you, take everything, have an abortion.
Right.
It's best just not to get involved.
Right.
The second lie is family diversity, that all types of families are equally safe and beneficial for children because family is about affection and attention that adults and children exchange with one another, and provided that there's enough money to support themselves. So this myth requires silence to publicly acknowledging marriage benefits. There's also this notion in the elite circles that family diversity is a mark of progress in society. We'll kind of pick up a little bit as to why. Well, we're going to have a little bit of speculation. Is why do the elites really do this? Okay. Emotional and physical risk of family instability. Yes. So the greater the family diversity, the more at risk really are the people within that family to emotional and physical harm.
Right.
Soulmate. So here's a third lie. I'm looking for my soulmate, my soulmate, my soulmate. It's anti-Aristotelian. Happiness is pursued for itself. When you're soulmate, I'm looking for my soulmate. He's making me happy, me. It's not a byproduct of what Sarah mentioned just a little bit ago, of joint striving towards a virtue, a common goal. Love, as long as it makes me happy. It's not a sincere gift of self to another. And that's John Paul's definition of what true love is.
Yeah. I don't know how he addresses it or if he addresses it, but that's particularly the issue of happiness, right? It's such a kind of a red herring, because happiness is wells up from within, right? Joyfulness, all of those things are interior realities that manifest themselves in an exterior way. But happiness isn't poured on from the outside, right? So no individual person could possibly make you happy. So the parameters of that are put up in an impossible goal, an unattainable goal, to put such a heavy burden on an individual person to be responsible for your happiness when that is your own personal responsibility. But I do think that that is part of the chronic problem that we have right now, is that we are suffering from a decided defect of people wanting to take responsibility for their own actions, right? I mean, you see everybody wanting to blame someone else for every misfortune that they have. And that type of reality is an untenable way of approaching marriage. Because like you said, say it again how John Paul said it, a sincere gift of the self, right? Right. And so consequently, the human person who is living an integrated life, and by an integrated life, I mean truly in communion with himself and God and his neighbors, right? That is the truly integrated life, to be in union with God and through God with your neighbors. Anybody who's living that type of an integrated life is capable of making a true gift of themselves. But anybody who's living outside of that really can't, because they have an absolute unawareness of themselves. So one of the ways that we're going to have to try, like, I don't know, you remember when we were growing up, how the big movement was all, you know, you need to have, oh, what would they call it? You need to be proud of yourself, right? The proud of yourself movement, or, but pride was poured on from the outside, right? Everybody got a trophy, right? Because we were worried about people's self-esteem and their self-worth. But the reality is every single kid that went through that line and was given the self-esteem trophy or the you're worth it trophy, who had never done a lick's bit of work, knew that that was a lie, right? And so somehow we have to be more courageous in assisting people to really living that integrated life, so that they can make an authentic donation of themselves in love to another person. And rather than being codependents, right? I don't know how could we articulate the better term, I guess you call it husband and wife, right? And like it is two people who come together for the purpose of creating something new, right? But codependents don't. Their whole self-worth and their whole self-meaning is reliant upon what you do for me, as opposed to what can I in my maturity do for you. And that's a problem in our culture.
It certainly is. Let's pick up with Jonathan Livingston Seagull in the next episode.
Richard Bach.
That's right. That's exactly who it was. Till then, my friends, Fides Sriracha.